Hello, squirrelies.
Squirrelies.
Good evening.
Wait. Here, a little ASMR. Here.
Oh, there you go.
There you go. There's a gluten-free beer for you.
Ah.
Yeah.
You know, the problem with gluten-free beer?
What?
It still tastes like beer.
Hopefully, if you're lucky, it still tastes like beer. I found a good one that tastes like beer. Not all of them do. But this
one
does.
What do they taste like if they don't taste like beer?
I mean, they taste like...
Worse than beer?
Ooh. They taste a little like... I can't even describe it. They're kind of... sweet and bready. Because they use different grains, you know.
Yeah.
But the best gluten-free beer I've found is Glutenberg, and it's from Canada, actually. And
does it have a flip top head?
It does not.
It took me a second. I was like,
but I only like I only really like the IPA because that's the one that tastes most like beer. The other ones are good, but
so know. They missed a golden marketing opportunity because you've got to call it glute beer.
Glute, like your booty.
Like root beer, like root.
Oh,
beer.
Root beer. Oh,
glute beer.
You say glute, and I think booty.
Ah, goodness. Now, Brita, I know you looked into it, and I can't remember what the verdict was. Bourbon is or is not gluten-free?
I really don't know.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right, then I guess I didn't forget.
I don't know. Maybe I did know at one point, but I forgot.
Ah, well, I forgot too.
I actually don't think it is because they... Part of the bourbon thing is like they make the thing and then they put it back in barrels that have I don't know. I don't know. If anybody knows, write into the score report and let us know.
That's right. Let us know.
Bourbon is gluten-free. Because I don't think it is. It has something to do with the aging process, like how they age it in barrels I don't know. Yeah. I mean, essentially, all distilled alcohol is gluten-free, right? Because it's just distilled.
Wow.
But it's like what happens after the distillation, like the flavoring and the aging and the barrels and the whatever.
Okay, according to beyondcelliac.org.
Okay.
Pure distilled bourbon, even if made with wheat, wheat, barley, or rye added to the mash. I apparently cannot read. Is considered gluten-free. Most bourbons are safe for people with celiac disease.
Well, hey, so, I don't have celiac disease, so.
I kind of figured that's like the, would the be standard. The most serious, wouldn't it?
There's a caveat. Yeah. There.
What?
Well, what? It also, I'm looking at the same thing. It also says, be on the lookout for hidden gluten in bourbons that add flavorings and other additives after distillation. Mm.
There you go.
Yeah, it sounds kind of like your straight bourbons would be okay, but if you get, you know, if you get like a apple bourbon, you know, if you get one of the abominations, you deserve what you've got coming to
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
So
if you're going to drink bourbon, then you get what you get.
Is that what you're drinking tonight, Jay?
I am. I am polishing off my Woodford Reserve, which is one of my favorites. It's not quite as good as Eagle Rare, but it's different. Ah. It's much smokier. It's like a campfire in your mouth. Without the flames and the burning and the, you know.
I always try to avoid that myself.
Charred flash, you know. But it's smoky. It's good stuff. I like it.
So anything going on this week?
Nah.
Guys?
Not really. Particularly... What? Well, I mean, we did find out that, you know, Flynn was pretty much innocent of everything. Oops.
Yeah, that's, you know, it's like those, remember
Why don't you give a little backstory? So people don't have to Google.
Okay,
summarize.
If you don't know Alan, you're the one. If you don't know who General Flynn is and what happened to him, just kind of stop listening now and go.
Alan.
Listen to something else. Okay, so General Flynn was Trump's first pick for National Security Advisor. Pretty sure it was National Security Advisor. Anyway, when he was prepping for they were doing the transition work. Obama was still president, but the Trump team, it was the, you know, pre-inauguration. It was the dead, you know, lame duck session for Obama. So the Trump administration was spinning up and getting ready, and Flynn had a phone call with some Russian guy, and the, you know, the FBI, there was a lot of, you know, panic among the Democrats when Trump won. And they spent, you know, from November 2nd or whenever it was, November, from the election day to when Trump was inaugurated, they spent that time in absolute panic trying to figure out. Remember, this was the time when they were talking about Article 25 and can we please get the electors to vote for somebody else? And, you know, just all these crazy ass theories about any way they could possibly make Trump not be the president. They just saw it as a mistake. And it, even within the FBI, they were in shock and operating, you know, under this whole, oh, this is a horrible mistake, we need to fix it.
We need to fix the vote of the American people.
Also,
they don't know anything.
Right. Also, it turns out that Flynn was a huge critic of the Obama's Iran deal, and the Obama administration really had it in for him. So they went after Flynn with loaded for bear. They were just, you know, they were going to manufacture something to nail him on, and with the complicit, you know, help of the press, you know, they were swirling around with the Russiagate and all this stuff, and, you know, oh, you know, Flynn lied. Oh my God, he lied. Holy crap, that's illegal. As you know, as somebody pointed out, you know, if it was illegal to lie to somebody in government, every senator would be in jail. Every congressman would be in jail. Every bureaucrat in the federal service would be in jail. So, but anyway, they manufactured this huge thing, and then the Justice Department came. They came in and they told Flynn, "Look, if you don't plead guilty to this, we're going to go after you. We're going to go after your son. We're going to go, you know, they were going to go, they told him they were going to go scorched earth." And you know what? When the government says they're going to go scorched earth on you and your family, what are you supposed to do? There is not enough money. Nobody has enough money to hire enough lawyers
to fight
the government when they are going to go scorched earth on your ass.
Randy Weaver could not be reached for comment.
Right. So he said, "Oh yeah, okay, I'm guilty, whatever." And then they started the whole, and apparently his law firm at the time was horribly in, you know, just horribly incompetent. So anyway, dirt started coming out, you know, this stuff, you know, Russiagate kind of fell apart, and, you know, all this,
because it was all based on a pack of lies.
Right. And so, you know, Flynn got a new lawyer, and the new lawyer was like, "This is bullshit. You're going to retract your guilty plea." And so they started working on that. And then come to find out that all these, you know, all these secret transcripts that Schiff wouldn't release, all these, you know, the secret testimony that was so important that couldn't possibly be released was in the meantime declassified, and and so the new what's his name, the guy that Trump appointed in charge of the national security, I can't remember his name. So I'm butchering this all to hell. Anyway, he told Schiff, he goes, "Look, either you release it or I'm going to release it because it's been declassified."
Right.
And so they released it, and it's all, and you know, in the meantime, they keep finding all these emails and all these text messages between crooked FBI agents, and so the whole case has completely fallen apart, and so much so, in fact, that this week the Justice Department basically filed a motion to drop charges with prejudice.
Oh.
For Flynn, they said this investigation was completely illegitimate, had no basis. You know, there was no legal investigation. Therefore, you know, I am not a lawyer, but this whole like you can't lie to an FBI agent is complete bullshit. You can lie to an FBI agent. You can lie up and down and sideways as long as it's not material to their investigation. So if they're asking you, if they're in the course of an investigation, they ask you something, a question that is material to the investigation, you can't lie. But if they're walking down the street and they go, hey, man, where's, you know, the courthouse? And you point them in the wrong direction. That's you're lying to a federal agent. But so fucking what? There's no problem there.
Hmm.
So it turns out that the whole Flynn lied was complete bullshit because one, the investigation was bullshit. The charges were bullshit. They went in trying to get him, it basically laid a trap. They were asking it. They had a recording of the phone call and they were asking him, you know, specific things like who can remember a phone call from, you know, specifically from months ago, you know, did you say these words, you know, whatever. And so they nailed him on a technicality, and so the whole thing was bullshit. And now finally this week, as I just said, the Justice Department is like filed a motion to drop all the charges with prejudice, which means they cannot ever be brought again by anyone. Even if a Democrat wins the next election and rolls into power, they still can't do anything about it. So I think I managed to get it all right without screwing it up too bad. I may have been incorrect on some things, but the vast majority was a frame up. It was, you know, it was egregious. And honest to God, if some of those FBI agents need to be in jail.
Well, that's yeah.
You know,
I just think the timing is interesting.
Oh yeah. It's
because who at this point is paying attention to General Flynn? Nobody cares.
Yep. There's something else in the news, but I hadn't heard much about it.
Not quite sure what. Something.
This thing.
But this house of cards and bullshit that the Democrats built and railed around for over 3 years.
Yep, and wasted time with impeachment.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, the entire
Mueller investigation was complete bullshit, start to finish, because they knew before he even started.
Yep.
The Steele memo was bullshit. The whole thing was bullshit. They knew there was no Russian collusion. It was all complete crap, and they knew it.
Which, you know, you contrast that to the Clinton impeachment, where all the Democrats did was scream up and down about how you don't impeach a president over a blowjob. Nah, nah, nah. Right. We knew he lied under oath. We had Bill Clinton dead to rights, lying under oath. There was no question. Boom. But they up and down, this is a partisan circus. There's no reason for this, blah, blah, blah. I would love to go back and collect all of those comments. A lot of them made by some of the very Democrats pushing the Trump impeachment. And I really hope Trump's got people doing that. Much like his new press secretary.
Oh, she's awesome.
Pretty much body slammed the entire press corps. they tried to gotcha her, you know, because apparently she made a comment early on in the ongoing saga of our great national plague about how it wasn't, you know, it wasn't serious or something. It was like the flu. And one of the smug little bastards was like, would you like to retract that? So she read a list of about a dozen contemporary quotes from the media at the same time, where they were all saying exactly what she said.
Right.
Why are we freaking out about this? Etc. And just, it was a beautiful, beautiful thing to just see them, the slug who asked the question squirming in his seat because he realized that this was dumb and you just got your ass handed to you on national television. Congratulations. Aren't you glad you went to journalism school for this?
Oh, please.
Yeah, I've seen a few of her press conferences. She's great. She must study like 24 hours a day for that shit.
Yeah. You know, from everything I've seen from Trump press conferences, he is disgusted with people who don't do their homework.
Oh yeah.
Yes. So like the dude who asked about the price of oil.
Yeah.
What is the price of oil? Next.
Prepared.
And that to me is the business background.
Right.
Right.
You don't ever go to a CEO or a leader with a problem you don't already have three solutions to.
Uh-oh.
Right.
Oh.
No, uh-oh.
Everything okay? And that's Hello? Pretty much what he called. You okay, Brina?
We can still hear you.
Can she not hear us? Uh-oh. Have we all become ghosts in the machine?
I don't know.
Hey, Mike.
Brita.
Uh-oh. I'm sorry. Hello. Huh? Hold on.
Oh, no. Okay. She can hear us. Good.
Hold on.
Pause.
This is where you push the pause button. You see, kids, back in the old days, you'd have a tape recorder, and you could play it, and you could also pause it. And
oh
that's where that we just randomly old-splain stuff just because.
No, I'm sorry. It's just I don't know why I keep having like connectivity issues. It's very irritating.
Okay, connectivity issues are annoying, but they're not. Nobody's in jeopardy. So that's the important
thing. Yet, Jay.
Like I'm still young. I ain't done.
It could still happen.
somebody could still get shanked. Just saying. But yeah. Yep. Going back to what we were saying, you know, it's like you don't come whining about problems if you don't have a way to solve it. And that's don't come in being all, well, what about this if you don't know the rest of the story?
But that you know, that's not how the press operates, right? They pretend to be, you know, the whole time they're being completely partial. they wear the impartial hat. And so they're like they're like that asshole that everybody knows that's a complete dick. And then you call them on them being dick and they're like, what? I didn't do anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's,
you know, that's what the press is. They're like,
yep.
You know, they're like, they lie, they cheat, they steal, they, you know, they're just awful, awful garbage people. And when you call them on it, they go, oh, you're beating up on the press. Oh,
exactly. He's intimidating the press.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's what dictators do. And it's, you can only play that card so many times before you're like, just stop. Yeah. He's got to be the most incompetent dictator in human history. Because none of you, not a single goddamn one of you, has gone to a gulag.
Yeah.
Wait, didn't Obama put journalists in prison?
Yes.
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did.
Oh, he also imprisoned, you know, random videographers.
Right. Yeah.
You know? Oh.
Whatever happened to that guy, I wonder.
Yeah. Which led to one of the most infuriating things I've read in a long time. Which was, 4 Americans died in Benghazi and Republicans won't shut up about it. Trump has killed tens of thousands with coronavirus and nobody cares.
Oh my God.
And it's like, I wish hypocrisy was fucking painful, you fucking pinhead. You know, like if Hillary Clinton had managed to steal the election in 2016, we wouldn't be hearing about the coronavirus.
We'd all be dead.
You know, well, no, it would have taken the same course. We'd except that dead. We wouldn't have freaked the fuck out about it. And there wouldn't be panic, and there wouldn't be massive, you know, 30 million people on unemployment.
Well, I remember Obama's SARS thing.
And the swine flu.
Right. Yeah, and the bird flu.
And
our bird flu might have been under Bush.
Nobody. Well, okay, so part of the problem is, you know, the right person was in the office of the president. So, you know, can do no wrong.
No, H1N1 was the swine.
So then you have, I mean, come on, you know, China diseases, every virus comes out of China.
No,
it
they
does.
Also come out of Africa.
Okay, well, yeah, okay. But the ones that spread around the world come from China. Or I guess, you know, I mean, we get a few out of West Africa, right? But
yeah, you know, like AIDS, you know,
AIDS,
no big deal.
Ebola, you know. But
AIDS.
You know, but the swine flu, the bird flu, all these things, these, you know, they all come out of China. And
it's because they're eating bats.
Yeah, that's licking bats or something. Anyway.
Well, no. See, I have to dispute that because Ozzy Osbourne would have been dead years ago.
Years ago.
Yeah, but that wasn't a Chinese bat. So, you know, we're talking about releasing transcripts, and the one I loved the most was former Obama administration defense official Evelyn Farkas. Do you remember her?
I do not.
Farkas. He had yellow eyes.
The one that was on MSNBC over and over and over again. And she was like, you know, her big claim was she knew that there was evidence of collusion.
Oh.
Personally knew. And she urged intelligence community bureaucrats to disseminate it within the government and leak it to the media before Trump could cover it up.
Oh.
And yet, in her testimony under oath, Mr. Gowdy. Trey Gowdy. Well, how would you know that the U.S. government knew at that point? You didn't work for it. Just keep in mind, she left in like 2015. She was not, she was gone. She was, and so he says, how would you know anything about this? You didn't work for the government, did you? And she goes, I didn't. And she goes, he goes, then how did you know? And she goes, I didn't know anything.
Oh. The next question is, why did you get on TV and lie about it?
Yeah. Well, that's what he said.
Okay. And her answer?
He goes, did you have any information connecting the Trump campaign to the hack of the DNC? And she goes, no. So when you say we knew, the reality is you knew nothing, Gowdy asked later. And she goes, correct.
So.
But why?
Because it was in this flurry of, oh my God, we have to correct this horrible mistake the voters made and get Trump out of the office.
Alan, they were using one of the oldest parental tricks in the book, which is, why don't you tell me what happened? You know, your kid comes in late at night.
Oh, yeah.
So, I just got a phone call. Do you want to tell me your side of it? And chances are pretty good they'll spill their guts because, well, oh, geez, I'm caught.
Yep.
Except in this case, there wasn't anything.
Right.
Which, you know, we kind of knew from Bloomberg's ill-fated run at the Democratic nomination because they were claiming that the Russians spent like, you know, $6 million on Facebook ads and altered the 2016 election. Bloomberg comes in, dumps $500 million and can't, it wins American Samoa. It's like, no, no, the Russians don't have enough money to affect the American election, period. Yeah. Michael Bloomberg very nicely proved that.
Right. I mean, the whole thing is just, you know, and honestly, it's not just the Democrats. It is the media who...
Well, no, you already said that with Democrats.
But you're repeating
but
yourself.
But I repeat myself. But, you know, it's like they are completely... It's like they are completely incapable of using a shred of, you know, judgment about any of this stuff. You know, these wild accusations with no, you know, no evidence whatsoever. People are just, you know, they went on TV and they just said shit. They just made shit up and spewed it out. And the press went, oh, okay.
Because there's no downside.
Right.
That's the whole thing.
Turns out there may be a downside.
Good.
Well, you know, there may be, but I'm not holding my breath and I'm not going to bet that way. You know, the fact is.
Well, it just reeks of desperation, first of all.
I think the press needs to lose their whatever it is they have, right? You know, they used to call it the fourth estate or whatever. I mean, they need to lose their cachet. They need to lose their whatever it is they have, this pool of White House reporters that gets to, you know, go into the White House and all that kind of stuff. Trump, they need to just quit that shit. You know, Trump can go on YouTube. He can do whatever he wants to do. He doesn't need the press. All their, you know, he should just come in and go, you know what? Y'all are just, every single one of you is a worthless piece of shit. I'm not talking to you anymore. I'm talking directly to the American people.
You know, though, it's very interesting, Alan, because do you remember what the press absolutely fucking harped on with George Bush? It has been 100 days since George Bush's last press conference.
Oh, yeah.
And what are they doing with Trump? No, yeah. We're
please
not going
to stop having press conferences, Mr. Yeah. Trump.
We're not. No, no. It's they're talking to each other saying we can't cover this. We can't disseminate this false information. So when you're a Republican, you can't give enough press conferences and you can give too many press conferences. Notice for 8 fucking years, they never said Barack Obama doesn't give enough press conferences.
I don't remember him giving hardly any.
But the press never said, wow, he doesn't give any press. When he called Fox News fake news, nobody cared. Nobody said he's delegitimizing the press. That's what dictators do. They went, well, that's Fox News. They're not a real news source.
Yeah.
It was perfectly fine when Barack Obama did it. These assholes get in there and they're fucking antagonistic and just pieces of shit. And Trump's like, fuck you. I'm not going to call on you because the last time I answered something, you lied about what I said. Next,
right.
It's he won't answer questions. What is he hiding? Mm-hmm. You know, I stated back in 16 that I was voting for Trump because I wanted the media to pay attention again. I didn't realize that they would go full on into, we are just going to make all this shit up and nobody's ever going to say a fucking word.
But that's what they've always done. You just didn't know about it.
Yeah, I suppose.
Well, I think the media is scared. I think they're desperate and scared because they realize that Trump is exposing them. Not only Trump is exposing them, but they're not getting away with it anymore because of the internet.
Right. They're also losing their jobs.
Yeah.
So they're still trying to play by the same old, like, okay, we're just going to make stuff up or like misquote or, you know,
yeah,
whatever.
Trump wants people to drink bleach. And then it's like, well, actually, no, here's exactly what was said.
Or you know, like Dr. Birx made a great point about the media, you know, back, this was a couple weeks ago when they were like, you know, taking all the, I think it was during the whole Trump wants you to drink bleach thing. Birx was making a good point about the media, about, you know, about how people only read headlines.
Yep.
And people don't read the story that's written. And that's why the media creates these headlines. I mean, the media's not dumb. They know what's going on. They know that millennials and you know, everybody else, they just read the headline. They don't read the story. Yep.
It's the Twitterification.
It is absolutely the Twitterification.
Yep.
So you put up a picture, put up a flashy headline, and that's the news. The story doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's memes. It's communicating via memes.
Right.
You know, can you believe what Trump said? I can't believe this one little trick. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Or like CBS with their fake line of people waiting to get tested.
Oh, my God. I couldn't. I mean, I can believe it, but.
Yeah, I believe it.
Wow.
You know, the thing is, out of all the things CNN is, CBS has faked, but CNN, it's all the same. Yeah. That one I sympathize with, because I understand that sometimes you've got to put stuff together to get the shot you want.
Okay.
Except. it. When you're doing it for a news story, it's really wrong.
yes. like I said, I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying I understand.
Oh yeah.
You know, but they having done my share of photo shoots.
Oh yeah.
Sometimes it's like, look, that's not how it is, but that's how it has to show up on camera. But
they've always done that. I mean, I did that. And this is one of the big reasons. I mean, I used to be in one of my, you know, when I was in college, I worked for newspapers as a photographer. And we staged shit all the time.
Yeah.
That's what we did. The odds of you, unless you're like the sports photographer.
Yeah.
Who takes a shot during a live game. Almost every other photo you see in the newspaper is staged one way or another, because it's either staged by the people having the thing. So you will come out and take a picture of it, or it is staged by the photographer who says, hey, can you move over a little bit? Or can you do this? Or can you do that? Yep. Or this, it would be great if you could stand or move this way or stand over here or something like that. I cannot tell you. It's like, I guarantee you, there is not, outside of maybe sports, there is not a single photo ever in the history of ever that was in a newspaper that wasn't staged one way or another. It's that's just how it is.
And
it's still not right.
It doesn't help that they already got, you know, in amongst other malfeasance from other organizations, CBS, just in this recent pandemic, has been caught airing footage from an Italian hospital and claiming it's New York. They had that tearful confession from the nurse who wasn't a nurse.
Right.
You know, there's too much anecdotal evidence that they are arranging everything to direct you to a foregone conclusion. And that should make everyone concerned, because it casts a doubt on everything. It's when you get one thing wrong, it casts aspersion on everything else. And that's the whole thing. You start faking stuff, and then you broaden it out. You know, oh, this is the war in Syria, and it's actually footage from Knob Creek machine gun shoot.
Right.
Yeah, you know,
but that's the thing. It's never, you know, whenever you're caught, it's not the first time that you ever did it that you get caught.
Right.
Nobody gets caught the first time they do something like that, ever, you know, no matter what you're doing. So,
and in today's day and age, with all of the tools we have at our disposal, it's just foolish. Why would you do that? Why would you not research that?
Because the people that will spot it are not their target audience.
Fair. Yep.
The people that are their target audience are the people that won't spot it, and even if they did, wouldn't care.
And going back to Breida's excellent point about Twitterification, you put that out. Look at the carnage in Syria.
Right.
That's your Twitter post that gets all the attention. A week later, when people are like, this was complete and utter bullshit, you just took footage from, an intern put the wrong footage in. It was an honest, simple mistake. I don't know why you're bogged down in the details. It's the front page news is wrong. The correction's on page A27. The important thing is getting it out there. You know, you have this horrific news expose about the plight of hospitals in New York City. Look at all of these people. Oh, yeah, we hit the wrong footage. That was actually a hospital in Italy. New York hospital. Are you trying to say the New York hospitals aren't busy?
You know what it reminds me of?
What?
It reminds me of all those fake, like, lynchings and racist attacks and you know, the lesbian couple who got beat up because they were lesbians and Jesse Smollett.
Yep. And the professor who had, insert slur here, painted on their door.
Right.
Excellent. That's what reminded me of. Breida. Yeah. And we just had another example of that, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
There's always another.
It's as somebody said, who wasn't me, and I don't remember who it was, that the supply of racism does not equal the demand.
Yeah.
And, but I thought it was interesting because this latest one was somebody in California who lied about getting beat up or something like that. And they found the cops are charging them with all this, you know, felony, blah, blah, blah. It was a complete hoax. But a professor, and this is from the article in Campus Reform, one professor told Campus Reform that rather than the students' lies being indicative of a lack of real racism in the community, her actions reflect just the opposite, that racism is such a problem that people feel compelled to make up incidents.
Okay.
It's distressing to think about the fact that racism in the United States is so profoundly a part of the lives of people of color that a student felt compelled to do something illegal and immoral to bring attention to the problem. Now, I think he's right.
Yeah.
I think he's right. I don't think he's right in the way that he thinks he's right. But I think he's absolutely right that racism is so profoundly a part of the lives of people of color because,
they had 8 years of being told it was, you're not responsible for anything. It's racism.
Well, it's not just generations.
So, you know, they look, or, you know, I mean, and I think he's right.
And there's just enough real racism, like whatever the fuck is going on in Georgia.
That is, which is awful.
Complete
My God,
utter
did you
bullshit.
See the video?
And, yeah.
Holy
yeah,
cow! Let's
jump in our truck and run this guy down for no fucking reason and shoot him. Holy shit!
Yeah, and
I hope that those
they're like.
Do they have the
like,
death penalty in Georgia?
Yes, they do.
Well, I hope they get it.
And bingo. They are charged with murder.
And right now they're like, why aren't we doing anything? Because we're building a fucking airtight case. That's why we're not doing anything. You're going to see exactly that. It's going to be like the whole bird thing down in Texas. They tried to saddle George Bush with. And he's like, two out of the three got the death penalty, and the third didn't because he testified against the other two.
And got life in prison.
Yeah. What more can he... Exactly.
Right. Exactly.
He testified
to get... What more could you want?
To just get life in prison without the possibility of parole. Which, by the way, was not the case of... Oh, shit. I can't think of the guy's name. The serial killer in Oregon who stayed in jail by a 5-4 fucking vote.
Right.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Green River Killer?
Yeah. I saw that.
Yeah. This guy was Gary Ridgway.
Fuck.
Gary Ridgway, they... 49 murders.
Yeah.
49.
And
he missed getting let out of jail by one fucking vote.
So let's completely set aside the fact that why is this motherfucker even getting a parole vote? I mean, how is that even possible? Because he's got like 70 million years of time to serve. How could he possibly get a parole hearing? And then who in their right mind is going to give a serial? I mean, what? I'm literally speechless. Who? What are you thinking? What virtue signaling are you trying to do? I mean, good God. I wanted
eligible. He was eligible for parole.
I'm blown away.
Exactly.
That could be eligible for parole.
And you know, it's one of those things. It's situations like that that are the main reason I can't fully oppose the death penalty.
I don't fully oppose it. I just mostly oppose it.
It's you know, I'm very sympathetic to the idea that the government fucks up so much fucking shit.
Yep.
Giving them the power to take your life is frightening.
Yep.
I'm very, very sympathetic to that. You know, I think that there are definitely reasons to keep the death penalty on the books. Simply for the fact that you give lifers who are psychopaths zero reason to not just be the baddest motherfucker in the prison if you don't have the death penalty. You know, I mean, if you're, let's say, you know, the Mountain, and you go to jail for murder and you're in jail, life, no parole, why would you not just beat the living fuck out of anyone that looked at you funny?
I would.
Just for
fun. You know, because they can't throw you in solitaire, they can't torture you. They can't. They're not going to add anything to your sentence. You're there for life.
Can't make it worse. Right?
I mean, you know, it's like you tower over all the guards. They're not going to do anything. Yeah, you've got to have that.
They want to go home at night.
Yeah, you know, you've got to have that last ditch. You know, Sparky, date with Sparky if you keep doing this shit. So, but it's guys like this. He confessed. He told them where to find the bodies.
Right.
You know, and it was, okay, you make a life sentence mean a life sentence, and you take away a huge chunk of my support for the death penalty. And that's the biggest problem, that this motherfucker could ever be eligible for parole is a travesty. 49, at least 49. That's the other thing.
That's the one he's admitted to and we know about.
Exactly.
That he can remember.
Yeah.
That he murdered so many people that he just forgot some of them along the way.
Sure he did.
Of course.
And the fact was,
it 49 or was it 53? God damn it,
I can't remember. Yeah. You know, that this guy would go up before a board. The idea that he could be let go. The fact that they said, hey, how about this mass fucking murderer?
Was this just like a general parole thing, or was it part of the coronavirus? Okay.
For the coronavirus.
Yeah.
I mean, there were actual motherfuckers saying, you know, oh, well, Of course they should let them out. Just because you're in jail doesn't mean it should be a death sentence. Well, actually, tough shit.
Yeah.
Because if the bar for letting someone out of jail is they might catch a disease, well, guess what? Closing all the prisons. You know, and it was pointed out that they were emptying the jails so the prisoners wouldn't get coronavirus, and then arresting hairdressers for daring to open.
Right. What?
Hold on. Back the fucking truck up, folks.
Yep.
This is not about a disease, is it?
Nope.
I'm not sure what it's about anymore.
It's about respect my authority.
There's a little bit of that. There's a little bit of, you know, is something bad that happened on Trump's watch? Oh, well.
Well, there's also this, you know, it plays right into that whole Democrat idea that work is evil and people shouldn't have to do it.
Yeah. Yep. They're floating that.
You should be able to sit home and get paid by the government to not work.
Which, that's going to run headfirst into a wall because there aren't enough people employed to pay for all this shit. And unless you enjoy paying for a loaf of bread with a wheelbarrow full of money.
Yeah.
Something's got to give. You know, and that's an excellent point. You know, the universal basic income like that. The fuck was his name? One of the Democrats running for president. The Yang. Billionaire.
No.
Yang. Thank you.
Was it Yang? Yeah.
Yeah. The universal basic income, which, you know, it's like. You're at that point, you're turning the dollar into monopoly money. We're going to give you $1,000. The Democrats are saying, we're going to pay everybody $2,000 a month for this. Oh, okay. You're just going to run the printers up. Guess what happens?
It's more that, you know, no history thing, right? Do they, you know, the Weimar Republic, Venezuela,
Zimbabwe.
I mean, right look now. At, you know, this is what happens when the socialists turn on the printing press. It's. You know,
we'll make the minimum wage $50 an hour. We'll make the minimum wage $100 an hour.
If you're going to make it that much, make it $1 million an hour. We can all be millionaires and we'll retire and be happy.
Yep. I mean, like we weren't already seeing enough evidence that the $15 an hour minimum wage was complete and utter bullshit that was ruining small businesses. You know, it's interesting because for decades, we've heard about how evil Walmart is and how it puts the mom and pop stores out of business and it's terrible and it's awful. We hate Walmart, blah, 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 blah. Walmart's allowed to be open now. Who's not allowed to be open now? The mom and pop stores. Yeah. Who's going out of business? The mom and pop stores. Who's putting them out of business?
Democrats.
The government.
Yeah. For the most part, it's Democrats.
Yep.
Thank you. Oh yeah, that guy, that hairdresser in Dallas that got put in jail because the judge wanted her to apologize.
Yes,
to the politicians for disrespecting them.
Yep.
And she put her in jail.
Did you see who dropped $7,000 into her defense fund?
No.
Alan, the lieutenant governor.
Oh. Well, good, but the governor, lieutenant governor, and basically said no, this is bullshit. You don't do this. And then the Supreme Court, the governor, basically issued a proclamation that said, "You shall not arrest people and put them in jail." for doing this. And then the Supreme Court said, "You got to let her out." So. And she's got like $500,000 on a GoFundMe.
Things back up, wasn't it? They'd already made the decision. Oops.
What?
Hello?
I'm still
Go here. On.
They'd already made the decision.
Did you flush, Jay? Did you mute?
Yeah. No, I'm not Clarence Thomas. For those squirrels that didn't catch the report, the recent U.S. Supreme Court decision that was, what was it? It was like a phone. They released the transcripts or something. It was like the first time that they had
a live conference call.
That's right. And somewhere in the background, a toilet flushed.
Yeah.
So, you know, anyway, like my recollection was that it was less than a week from the official reopening of the state of Texas.
Well,
like, it wasn't
parts of Texas were already open. It was just that barbershops and hair salons and nail salons were supposed to be closed for another week.
And Alan, I think this is a good segue into your barbershop.
My barbershop has been open for like 3 weeks now. Kind of like, fuck you, we're opening. Somebody ratted on them. And I think it was a fire marshal or somebody showed up and tried to give them a citation. And there's a video on it.
There's a video.
The owner's like, fuck you, get the fuck out of my store. And then apparently somebody else showed up and said if he opened up on, you know, next week, they were going to arrest him. He says, I don't care. I come arrest my ass, and was just basically just tell him to fuck off.
You're sounding like a Nazi, he said.
Yeah. And the guy's like, oh, I'm just doing my job. And that's, he's like, yeah, the, you know, Nazi.
That's what they, yeah. But then the Texas Open Carry showed up, right?
Right. Some of the guys from Texas Open Carry. I don't, you know, he.
Hello?
Yeah, we're still here. Apparently Skype's having with problems. Us? Can you hear us, Jay?
Oh, good. It's Jay's not me.
It's Skype. I'm telling you, Skype's all kinds of fucked up. Anyway, we're still recording. So when Jay comes back, you'll hear him.
Okay.
But they're open like Tuesday to Saturday, and they're closed Sunday and Monday. And so Tuesday they opened up, and they were somebody had threatened to come out and cite them or arrest them or something. And he was like, you know, fine, do it. And Jay dropped off completely.
Wow.
Anyway, so he said, fine, come arrest me. And so some of the guys from Texas Open Carry showed up, or Open Carry Texas, whatever it is. And they were kind of standing around in the parking lot.
But nothing happened, right?
There was
nobody. Yeah. Okay.
Apparently, the suspicion is somebody else in the strip center called to complain about them. And apparently the sheriff's office says, we don't care. We're not doing anything.
Yeah. Come on.
So nothing happened. And, but yeah, this is, you know, but I've got a lot of respect for this woman in Dallas that runs this salon, because the judge was trying to intimidate her, you know, into respecting his authority, you know, talking about how she was selfish and all this kind of stuff. And she's like, you know, look, I'm trying to keep my business. I'm trying to feed my kids. I'm trying to, you know, the people that work for me have kids that they're trying to feed. I'm not selfish. You know, people need to get their hair cut. This is ridiculous. It is. This is just more, and like, you know, we've seen so many examples of this petty bullshit on the part of government flunkies and, you know, people, you know, like the guy by himself in the middle of the ocean on a paddle board.
Yes.
Getting arrested. Some guy with his daughter or with his kid out in a park getting arrested. I mean, it's just ludicrous. It's like the zero common sense patrol. And yeah, I don't.
Yeah. Well, I think, and going back to the media thing, I think the media has created this idea that the virus is this magical super virus that can just float around and grab onto you.
Oh yeah. Like a jump out and grab you and assault you.
Yeah. It's like that. Like, I'm dealing with this at work, right? The library director told me today that all the other libraries are being very strict about working in teams and alternating days with teams and all this stuff. And there are a few of us, few managers, who are probably going to have to show up, you know, every day, at least for a week. And that kind of like defeats the whole team idea. And she's freaking out about, you know, oh, well, you know, I can't be there every day. And what if blah, blah, blah. And I said, listen, if we all wear our masks and we all socially distance and we all wear our wash our hands and wash our, you know, surfaces that we touch, it's not going to be a problem. It's not like there are, you know, this magical super virus where it can jump from one person to the other. And, you know, if you're out in public for longer than, you know, like I know that in Great Britain, they're allowed one time per day, they are allowed to be outside of their house for like an exercise kind of thing, like go for a walk or go running.
Well, it's like, they're only allowed an hour in the yard at the jail. I mean,
yes, it is. Wow. Exactly like that. Damn. And I think it's media driven, where it's like they have created this idea that if you're out of your house, you're going to get it.
Yep.
It's actually just the opposite.
Well, I mean, yes, but like, especially for us, like every day I go to the Lake County website and I check the numbers for how many people in the entirety of Lake County, Ohio, which we're not a huge county. Okay, great, granted, but the entirety of the county, like how many people have been confirmed cases, not dead, mind you, but just confirmed cases. 186 total.
Yeah, that's not very many.
So yeah. I don't know how many people live in Lake County, but how many of those are in a nursing home?
Right.
I don't know that statistic, but I'm thinking probably a great number of them.
Yeah, at least 50%.
Yeah. So, but like, all day I've spent dealing with like library staff that is, we're starting up again Monday. We're opening the library on Monday and we're opening and it's just going to be library staff. We're not even doing curbside yet. We're just going in for 2 weeks to like take care of stuff. And literally everyone is panicking and everybody is calling me with their panic. And, oh, you know, I have kids. I don't want them to get it. And I don't want to bring it home. And, you know, it's like this whole, like, panic situation. And I want to say to them, like, look at the number of people in Lake County versus the number of people who have just been diagnosed. Not death. We have, like, eight deaths in Lake County.
Eight.
Which are probably all in nursing homes.
They're all in a nursing home. Yeah, of course they are.
So this whole panic of, oh, if I leave my house, I'm going to pick it up somewhere and it's going to jump on me and cling to me and ride me home and I'm going to give it to my children. And like, it's just, it's crazy.
Yep.
And I think people need to really, it's not a magical virus, people. It's like a regular virus. And if you do your regular virus things like you do in flu season, you're probably going to be okay.
Right. Yep. And that's, but the thing is, if you point out that you should take these same precautions, it's like, oh, you're one of those, it's just the flu people.
Right.
And you're dismissed.
Yeah.
And, the whole thing that has annoyed me the most is, in a bad year, the flu kills a shitload of people. It's not something to shrug off. It's not something to take lightly. It's because you don't think you should cower under a pile of blankets in your basement. You want grandma to die. It's like we've got this psychotic binary response.
Mm.
It's either you want to murder all old people or you're never going to leave the house again.
And right.
Here's the thing. You are perfectly free to never leave your house again. Which I kind of have a problem with, you know, oh, well, we'll just have the supermarket deliver food and DoorDash and this, that, and the other thing. So it's okay for those people to go out and face death on a daily basis.
Right.
You know, there's like a real subtle classism, you know, because like the real rich, of which the media and Democrats are well ensconced.
You mean the we're all in this together people?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Oprah Winfrey's telling me, you know, we're safer at home.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure in your 15,000 square foot mansion with hot and cold running servants, you are. Yeah. But, you know, I'm a little concerned I can't pay my fucking mortgage.
Right.
You know. But it's this idea that if you step foot outside of your house, you're going to get this virus and you're all going to die and blood's going to shoot from your eye sockets. And the truth of the matter is, like, I just looked, you know, I'm from Massachusetts. Massachusetts is one of the areas that's pretty hard hit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Average age, 82.
Ah, uh-huh.
And, you know, it's like you say, people are like, oh, you don't want grandma to die. No, what I want you to do is to take an honest look at your risk assessment policies.
Right.
If you are a healthy person who is under retirement age, you're not at a significant risk. And there's enough outliers to say, yes, you should be careful. I've washed my hands ridiculous amount the past couple of months because I don't want to get it. I'm probably very likely to feel like shit for a week and be done. I still don't want it. I don't want to run the risk of giving it to my kids.
Well, you don't want the flu either when that goes around.
Right. So I don't want a common cold.
Right.
You know, it's just general good practices when there are known pathogens.
Well,
it's, wash your hands. You avoid large crowds. It's
yep. Those are easy things to do.
Yeah. This does not require shuttering businesses.
No.
You know, and like the fact that they're requiring masks now.
Yeah.
Yes, the horse is out of the barn. The barn burned down. The farmer sold the fucking land to a developer. And now you're going to close that door.
You know, one of the things that I've noticed also is the randomness and kind of nonsensical nature of the rules that have been made. For instance, I was standing in line yesterday to get into the fabric store. Because they were only letting 15 people in the building at any given time. So there were like four of us waiting to get in. Okay, fine. Whatever. None of us were wearing masks, by the way. The people in line. But, so while we're standing there waiting for waiting for our turn to enter the building, two people walked out and the employee says to us, oh, I can only let one of you in. We're like, what? Two people walked out. Why can't two people go in? Well, one of those, the two people who walked out, one of them was a minor. They only count for half a person.
Oh, good Lord.
What?
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Math is hard.
I just.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. Because minors only contract half of, you know.
Okay. It's wow. Just like, at this point, I just throw up my hands and I'm like, okay.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we started, remember back, turn the Wayback Machine to March.
Oh, boy.
Remember March?
Yes.
Remember about the middle of March when there was these ridiculous models that looked suspiciously like the climate model?
Yes.
Yep.
With 200,000 people are going to die. With a line
that goes way up and like, holy shit, we're all going to die.
Yeah.
You know, they were deathly afraid. And honest, you know, unknown disease. We knew jack shit about it at the time. And they were really afraid that the number of cases were going to overwhelm the hospitals. And it wasn't so much that people would die from the coronavirus that wouldn't have died otherwise. It was all the other things that people would die for because they couldn't get to a fucking hospital.
Yeah, the hospitals would be overwhelmed and the healthcare system would be overwhelmed.
Right.
We wouldn't have enough doctors, blah, blah, blah.
So we were going to have a pause. Remember the 15 days to start to lower the curve and stop the spread?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then in the course
15 days turned into 2 months,
everything changed. And, you know, we went from slow the spread to ease the pressure on the hospitals to everybody stay home until there's a fucking, until the virus doesn't exist anymore.
Right. Until there's a vaccine.
Well, but that's what people are saying. There are people in government that are absolutely saying everybody needs to stay home until there's a cure and a vaccine and nobody ever gets this anymore. And it's completely ludicrous. I am totally in, you know, from what we knew in March, I was okay with the whole, you know, 2 week, 15 day thing. Right. Okay. Fine. Right. But when they extended it, that's when everybody started going, all right, this is crazy. Yep. And after, you know, and we got to the end of that, everybody's like, you know, you can just feel it all over the country. People are going, this is fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
We're going back to work. You know, shops are opening, you know, the ones that still have employees, the ones that haven't gone into bankruptcy, the ones, you know, the ones that can still open are starting to open up. So, you know, and then the press is like, well, what are you going to do if the people stay home and won't go back to work? You know, it's like,
yeah,
really?
That's, well, that has become a problem because people are noticing, hey, I'm making more on unemployment than I am.
Well, at a certain point, that's going to stop happening, right?
Yep.
They're not going to be making more on unemployment anymore.
And that suddenly, gravy train runs out quickly.
Suddenly, they're going to be looking for a job.
But yeah, it was very interesting to see how that changed. Because, I mean, it was everywhere. Flatten the curve, flatten the curve, flatten the curve, flatten the curve, flatten the curve. There were graphs all over the place.
Right.
And even a month ago, there was a big graph that went around. It was huge, where you showed like the initial projection of the deaths going. You know, it was a straight line, straight up, blah blah, right, blah blah blah. And then there was,
we're gonna die or something. Yeah, like that.
And then the right about in the middle, you could see the actual line go down, and it was, you know, as all of the things kick in and you know, people start to work. And then, oh, this is the point where people say, see, this was blown out of proportion. Okay, well, what do we do now?
Right.
Because no matter which number you use, you know, the CDC just came out with, and this, I think, is a fucking smokescreen. The CDC came out with a number that was significantly lower, and they're saying, oh, that's because those are the confirmed deaths and, right, and blah, blah, blah.
Versus the assumed ones or something like that. And you can't forget that the federal government pays more money to hospitals if someone dies of COVID-19 than if they die from anything else.
Here's my prediction, though.
Guess who gets to die from COVID-19? Everyone.
Here's my prediction, though. Whatever number they decide is the final number, it's going to be right. But they're rope-a-doping people with this lower number that they're going to jump on it and be like, oh, look, the CDC came out and the real number is this. Yeah. So that in the end, when they investigate all of them and, oh, yes, those were all definitely COVID-19 deaths. But what that detracts from is that number that's looking to be about 70,000 right now, which, again, is still a big number.
Yep.
It is still a large number of people. It is definitely something to be concerned about.
Even if it's twice as big as it should be, it's right, still a big number.
It's exactly. Whether it's 40,000 or 70,000 or whatever the difference is, it's still a big number. It's still something we should be concerned about and we should be taking precautions against, period. But it's not the 2.2 million that they were, you know, scaring us back into our caves, right, back in March.
And it's never going to be.
And again, you know, it's like I remember making it on the Squirrel Report, the correlation of global warming.
Yep.
With did. That same alarmism with, yep, with a touch of, you know, that first snowstorm of the season when the snow comes late. You know, they've been waiting and waiting and waiting for the big snowstorm, and they're just like frothing at the mouth, and they will jump on anything. Oh my God, this is it!
Hey, Brita, didn't it snow today?
It did snow today.
global warming.
May 8th. Well, you know, because global warming means that it snows in May, of course. Right. Because why wouldn't it? Nobody wants to admit they're wrong.
Right.
Nobody wants to admit they panicked.
Nope.
I mean, I would view it as a breath of fresh air if a governor or even a mayor were to come out and say, you know what? Yes, we overreacted. But here's the thing. All the information we had in the early time was that there was a possibility for hundreds of thousands of people to die from this.
Right.
And I didn't want to be the guy that watched as hundreds of thousands of my constituents died from a virus when I could have done something. I mean, I would put that person on the goddamn 2020 ticket. If you were honest and said, hey, yes, looking back, through, you know, with 2020 hindsight, we can see that this was an overreaction. But at the time, it seemed like a good course of action. We did not know what was going on. The numbers coming out of Europe were horrifying.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 20,000 people in Italy. I mean, you know, Italy's about the same.
Italy doesn't have that many people to start with.
Right. You know, it's. The initial, and of course you can't trust a damn thing coming out of China because they're like, there were four coronavirus deaths. Yep. Yeah. Four. Four. Ignore the scientists falling out of buildings. But to come out and say, look, we made the best, we made what we thought were the best choices given the data we had at the time.
Well, that's really all you can expect from anyone.
Exactly. There'd be a lot of respect. Instead, it's, you know, oh, we're just going to keep moving the goalposts and hope you don't notice. It was flatten the curve. Don't overwhelm the hospitals. Now it's like, oh, we're going to wait until the deaths start going down. And then it's, oh, we're going to wait until there's a vaccine. You know, well, it's like we still don't have a vaccine for SARS.
Yeah. I got news. We're not going to have a vaccine.
The flu vaccine isn't 100% effective.
No, you know? It is not. Chickenpox.
Yep, I had chickenpox twice.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I had it once.
I got it when I was six, and I got it when I was a senior in high school.
Oh, that's not good.
Which, it was not fun. It was not fun at all. But, you know, it happened. And the other thing, again, that we're not seeing is that the whole what plays into the risk assessment. Who were the most susceptible? You know, like the big reason for a lot of the deaths are nursing homes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, of all the things that's a slam fucking dunk. You have a large number of high risk people in close proximity. We have decades and decades of evidence that you really have to be careful in the nursing homes. And yet they're like, yeah, whatever. We just quarantined them.
Well, it's because the nursing home, they don't really care.
You know how much they pay their workers in the nursing home?
Yeah.
I mean,
yes,
I'm just going to put that out there.
Yeah. Almost, yes, I do.
Almost nothing.
Nothing.
Minimum wage at best, usually.
Yep.
It's really sad.
Yep. And you know, rather than say, hey, you know, maybe we ought to pay a little more attention, it's why do you want grandma to die?
Right.
You just want to get your hair cut, you selfish bastard.
Which is funny because the guy that cuts my hair posted this long thing. I don't know. He maybe got it from someplace else, but it was kind of interesting. You know, he was talking about how, you know, barbers, you know, you go to school for all this time and you're trained, you are specifically trained in how to prevent spreading diseases.
Yes.
Because you're touching people, you're touching their heads, you're touching, you know, everything is sanitized. They got the, you know, you see the little jug of Barbasol right there. Everything is sanitized, you know, and yet a fast food place can stay open.
They're not trained.
And hand out food for a minimum wage teenager. And yet the barber or hairstylist who is specifically trained in sanitation and disease prevention. yep. somehow yes. can't open. Yep.
The scissors sit in an alcohol solution.
Right.
Specifically to kill anything that might get on it.
Right.
You know, and that's been one of my very rawest pet peeve. These people complaining about, you know, they didn't properly sanitize the bag they handed me my fast food in.
Yeah.
Like, are you fucking for real?
You're lucky if they didn't spit in it.
Thank you. There have been ample cases. If yeah. you're really concerned about right. getting the virus, yeah. if you are honestly concerned and not just fucking virtue signaling,
yeah,
you wouldn't be eating fast food, no, would you? Because it is prepared and handled by minimum wage teenagers. I happen to have a couple of minimum wage teenagers. I love them very much. They're not the most sanitary minded humans on the planet.
Yep.
I wasn't. I absolutely wasn't when I was a teenager.
I don't think any teenager is.
And if your concern is that they're not wiping down the plastic bag they put all your food in, I'm going to kindly suggest that your risk assessment skills are lacking. Because the same people that aren't wiping down the bag that your food is in probably didn't wash their hands before they made your fucking burrito, did they?
Nope.
Speaking of, I drove past Taco Bell on Cinco de Mayo. And the line was so long, there was a cop there.
Wow.
Like, practically, like, kind of directing traffic for people. Learn how to cook.
Yeah.
Seriously, learn how to cook. It's not hard.
Oh,
I
that reminds me. I got to tell you, Burrito, about this thing I saw. It was a Facebook ad. And
all right.
For the first time in my life, I almost wanted to buy something off a Facebook ad.
Oh dear. Oh, okay.
It's this little doohickey that you wrap a corn tortilla around and then stick it in your toaster, and it makes a hard taco shell.
Really?
Yeah. And I was
what sort of doohickey is it?
It's like a plastic thing with a handle, and it holds the shape of the taco shell when you stick it in the toaster, and then the toaster toasts it.
And kind of like, make your own taco shell.
Yeah, and I was like, oh my God.
Ooh.
A taco shell or like a flautus type thing?
It was shaped like a hard taco.
Hard taco.
Shell. Yeah.
Because that could kind of be neat with like a lavash wrap.
That'd be good.
A low calorie,
sure.
High fiber taco shell. Ooh, now you got me intrigued, damn it!
I'm telling you, I was like, I was still like, whoa.
we're big fans of taco boats. With the little boat holders.
Oh, I've never in my life seen taco boats.
Taco boats.
It holds.
Are they corn?
It holds the taco for you.
They're flour because they're, you know.
Oh, like, okay.
Yeah, I mean it's not the good stuff, but it's a mix of what the kids will eat. Yeah.
I see.
There are concessions made. It's kind of like fun.
I would like to say that during my quarantine period, I've learned a lot of things. Among them, making my own corn tortillas.
Nice.
They were delicious and really worth the effort. They're so far superior than corn tortillas you can buy in the store.
Yeah. That's pretty much the case for everything.
Well,
really.
Yeah.
You know, there's not a lot that isn't a lot better if you make it. Like if you make it from scratch, you know, you take mac and cheese and you compare what you make yourself from scratch to Kraft. Well,
I don't know, man. That blue box.
With the cheese powder.
It's convenient. It's convenience.
The cheese powder.
It's totally convenience. I can whip that up. You know, I get home from work. I can pull together. You know, we had for Taco Tuesday on Cinco de Mayo.
What?
Fettuccine Alfredo with chicken. Thank you very much.
Nice.
That's how we roll.
Yeah, I don't think I didn't have anything taco-y either on Tuesday.
What else did you learn how to do, Brita?
I learned lots of things. I have really enjoyed my quarantine time, and I've learned lots of things during my time. I redid my bookcases in my bedroom. I fixed my sewing machine. I learned how to rewire a lamp. I am in the process of refinishing antique furniture. Awesome. The tortillas. Stuff.
I've actually
wanted to learn how to do. Like the refinishing furniture, I have always wanted to learn how to do. And it just so happened that on Facebook Marketplace, I found, and it was like one city over, and they actually delivered it to me, which thank you so much because I don't have a truck. But for $80, I got a antique waterfall from the 1940s vanity set. It's got like a big like dresser and a vanity. And when I got it, it was covered in this like olive green brown kind of paint. And they both have mirrors, by the way, round mirrors. Google waterfall vanity if you want to kind of know what it looks like. And it was covered in paint. And I thought to myself, oh, okay, well, I'll just repaint it, right? I'll paint it a cooler color. Like I was thinking gray and cream, kind of like a two-tone thing. And I was like, oh, I'll make it kind of nice. And, I'll have it in my room and I'll, whatever. It'll be fine. And I thought for $80, whatever, who cares, right? And so then, what was it, last week? Week before last, I went out in the garage where it has been for a couple of months. And I decided I'm going to take off the drawer pulls just to take off the drawer pulls to see. And so I pulled off the drawer pull, and under the drawer pull, I could see a glimmer of this beautiful veneer. Like, the fancy, I don't know what it's called. Fancy veneer under the paint.
It almost looks Art Deco.
It's veneer.
It is Art Deco.
Okay.
It is.
I'm not that
and
bad.
So, it is definitely Art Deco, but it's like 40s Art Deco. So
yeah.
I saw this glimmer of veneer and I was like, holy shit. I was like, okay. They painted like the entire thing with this ugly brown olive green paint. And I thought, how bad can the damage be under the paint? Like the veneer looks solid. I don't see any like obvious chips or like damage or like, structural damage. It looks fine. I'm like, what could be under the paint? And so I sent a text message to my neighbor, who I know she kind of does like kind of furniture restoration type, stuff. She's one of those people who like when she drives down the street and she sees furniture on the side of the road, she'll stop and pick it up. So I texted her. I was like, have you ever refinished furniture? And she's like, yep. And I said, well, and I sent her a picture of the little glimmer of veneer under the paint. And she's like, oh, there might be something there. And I was like, I know. And she's like, do you have any white vinegar or rubbing alcohol? I was like, yeah. She's like, well, try that first to see what happens. I was like, oh, really? Like, I don't need paint stripper? So I tried white vinegar and it kind of came up a little bit on the edges. And I was like getting somewhere and I was seeing a little bit more of the beautiful veneer. I'm like, oh my God, like seriously? And so I was like, okay, that's not really working that well. So I tried the isopropyl alcohol and I put a puddle on it and in 10 minutes, the paint just peeled right off. Like, just peeled right off. Luckily, they didn't put any primer under the paint. But thank God. But the paint has just been coming off so easy. And the wood is pristine, and it's beautiful, and it's classic Art Deco. And it's something I've always wanted to learn how to do is refinish, antique furniture. Just because there's so many pieces out there that you can get for cheap and you can just redo them, anyway. And there's so much.
Dumped.
Yeah. And there's so much better construction than,
yeah.
Modern furniture. They're all solid wood. They're all beautiful. Right. Like put a little elbow grease into it and it's going to be great.
You can't refinish modern furniture.
No, it's garbage. No, you throw it away.
Right. But the old stuff all solid wood, even the veneers you can refinish.
Yeah. So,
yeah,
luckily for $80,
nice.
It's amazing.
It's completely naked. It has no paint on it yet. So I'm going to like just shellac it and it's gorgeous. So I'm happy. But that's, I've made good use of my time. during quarantine. And now I have to go to work on Monday and deal with people again.
Your coronation is almost over.
Oh, well.
Yeah. But at least you don't have hobos for the next couple of weeks. So.
And I have no connection.
No, we can still hear you.
Great.
We can hear you. Thanks, Dave. I think we just heard Ty.
No, it was me. Yeah. Hello?
We can still hear you.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, Skype is stupid. So, and we're all also way over.
I was just going to say, we're like way over. So,
I miss you guys.
This is like, I'm lonely. Yes, talk to me. I miss you guys too.
Yeah.
I miss human contact of any type.
I don't actually.
Well, I'll go back to what I said before. You know, it's like the meme that was, I forget where it was, but it was like when they put you on lockdown and your life doesn't change.
Oh well.
Except that I chafe because, you know, I can't go it's irritating to me to be told not to do stuff. So
yep. And it's like just anyway. for me it's the shortages. I'm just like, you know, it's like if I could go into the supermarket, not have to line up, and go into the warehouse store and not see giant holes where stuff used to be, this would be like 75% more bearable.
Yep.
I think. But it's like,
I'm here again. I'm just going to go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's say goodbye while we still can. And
okay.
And we got next
good
week.
Good night, everybody.
Right. Same squirrel time, same squirrel channel. Night, y'all.
Okay.